Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 188 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program number 290. Get your paper and pencil ready. Mark down program number 290. You may want a copy of it on CD or a tape copy, audio tape. And we do have a very nice, God always gives me a very nice message to pass along your way, to strengthen you and to make you more acceptable for the kingdom of heaven. Remember, we have to be perfect, and that's why we have to stay in the Lord in prayer every day. And also, we need to hear His word and read His word and hear it while we're reading it as well. We have some testimonials this evening, and message and Bible reading, and some singing. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Lord, let it be your words. Lead me, Lord, to lead others to eternal life and to strengthen the church in these last days. On this program specifically, Lord, that the souls may be saved and the church strengthened and brought to a zeal that you require in order that you spit them not out of your mouth. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. We have a message, which, again, I'm going to just give you maybe a little bit of what you received in yesterday's message, that acknowledge sin as sin that is not sins of ignorance. If you know that you're sinning, then there's no excuse for it, because you must believe that there's no sin that will enter the kingdom of heaven, and don't think that you'll get by with it either. Because the Bible says you won't, and I know you or I won't. This is the reason why so much prayer for the power of the Holy Spirit should be offered, and yet so few answers come down from God. If you're not, if you're full of sin, God isn't even going to answer you. He won't even hear you. And then people say, well, God doesn't answer me. He's got me on hold, or He doesn't want to talk to me, or you act like you're some special type of a person that God would or wouldn't talk to. But it all depends on you. You got to know that when you read that God has given His Holy Spirit only to those who obey Him. And that in Acts 5:32, every child of God has received the Holy Spirit. Every child of God. And every child of God, that means those that acknowledge sin and repent of it and stay repentant until the very last day. If He uses the measure of the Holy Spirit that He has with the definite purpose of being obedient to the utmost. That's why He gives the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is to those that keep His commandments to the utmost. Then God can and will favor you with further manifestations of His Spirit and His power, because His Spirit is power. But if He permits disobedient people to get by, then they will get His upper hand day after day. People need not wonder if His prayer for more of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be completely consumed, owned by the Holy Spirit. This is, then don't think of it as any wonder that your prayers are unanswered. The Holy Spirit's desire really is to possess more of us, but how are we able to completely surrender ourselves to Him? This Holy Spirit, other than by being totally obedient to the Lord. Well, the Apostle John was obedient to the Lord, and that's why the Lord gave him tremendous revelations. The Lord showed him who the Antichrist was. John stated that there are many Antichrists today. And he asked the Lord, while he had his head on his chest, he said, "Lord, who is the one that's going to betray you?" And the Lord told him, so that was Antichrist. And then John stated, there are many Antichrists in the world. Even in that day and age, and the world is filled with them today. The entire world is deceived. And so we need to look up and know that our redemption draws nigh, because the Lord stated that there'd be a falling away, a great falling away, which means a lot of people would turn their back on the Lord and walk with Him no more in these last days. As a matter of fact, John stated that that was, he wrote that up, and it happened to be, is it coincidence that it's John 666? They turned their back on the Lord. They wouldn't walk with Him any longer. That is Antichrist. And it's a corporate body. It's not just one person. And 2 Thessalonians states that that Antichrist body is controlled by the spirit of Satan, the great red dragon, the devil, and that he enters into the bodies of those who have fallen away and presents himself there as God, and the people that believe not the Lord are the ones that believe Satan. So he sits in the temple of God, which is us. We are God's temple, and says, "I am God." All right, so I did a couple of songs, couple of albums with J.D. Summer and the Stamps, and one of the songs was "I, John." He looks up into the heavens. This is "I, John, the Revelator, looked up into the heavens, and I saw a mighty number." And here I am with J.D. Summer and the Stamps singing "I, John."
Well, and I just saw a mighty number, way up in the middle of the air. Well, I just saw a mighty number, way up in the middle of the air. Well, I just saw a mighty number, way up in the middle of the air. Well, I just saw a mighty number, way up in the middle of the air. Well, there were three gates in the east, and there were three gates in the west, three gates in the north, three gates in the south, and that made 12 gates to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, come mighty, you will have chance of mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, well, I just saw a mighty number. Way in the middle of the year, oh, John declared that he saw a man with 12 stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, he wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. Because he felt the gospel gun like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice that said, "John, take a look. Read what you see and then write a book." He saw 12 angels in the east, 12 angels in the west, 12 angels in the north, 12 angels in the sky. 48 angels to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, the buzz over that John's almighty number. Way up in the middle of the air, that John's almighty number.
Praise the Lord. Some of our listeners on the shortwave told me today, one of them stated that there are people now copying or thinking they're copying this testimonials that come in from the newspaper, from the literature that we're distributing, and from the radio program. And they're saying, please send us letters, please send us letters, please send us letters. I don't solicit the letters that come in here. They are sent. They are heartfelt. They come from people that are moved to write a letter in here. And I'm not saying, oh, please send responses or things like that at all. Yeah, I don't think you could ever hear me begging for you to write me. But they come in heartfelt. But anyway, we have some testimonials. Okay, so where is the first one from?
From Nova Scotia, Canada.
Nova Scotia, okay.
Dear Brother in Christ, I picked up your program on shortwave this morning, and was I blessed. I, too, am a great lover of Jack Holcomb's music. He was the best.
Amen. Well, he's one of the best. There's some other ones, too. Okay, but I really, he is my favorite, for sure. Then what?
But praise God, I thought I was the only one that called the Church of Rome a sect. God's word plainly states who the mother of harlots is, who sits on the seven hills, Revelation chapter 17 and 18. I would appreciate very much if you would send me some of your literature on it, and also that about the dry bones, Ezekiel 37. My radio fades out, I miss quite a bit of your teaching. Thank you so much, yours because of Calvary, Bill and Connie from Lower Sackville, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Now, those of you that are able to get us really strong on the air, I'd like to know how to do that. I've never been able to work a shortwave radio. One of the sisters said they got Berlin and all over the world, all different kinds of Latino American or Latin American countries. And where were some of the other places you got?
Some Oriental stations,
and I can't get anything but static. And so a few people out there know how I can get good reception. I'd appreciate a letter from you in that regard, okay? And where else would you get? Huh?
Cuba.
Panama.
Wales.
Peru.
Mexico. Florida.
In Florida?
Yeah. And some Oriental places.
Some Oriental what?
Places.
Oh, Oriental places that she wasn't able to understand. Okay, so continue on.
Okay. Two ladies called in on a conference call from New York City to our 24-hour witnessing line asking for Messiah books. They had read your literature, Brace Yourselves, in the New York Daily News. They were very excited and said they never saw anything like this before in the newspaper. They said everything in the article was in the Bible. One of the ladies was an elderly black lady, and she started talking about the Lord, about fighting the devil, witnessing, and testifying. And after talking a while, she said, "We're having a service here. Praise the Lord. They also want your literature sent to them so they can be distributors and will be listening to your radio broadcasts."
All right. Praise the Lord. Where else?
And a man from Lemon Grove, California, called to say that he had read your literature entitled Dry Bones in the San Diego Union Tribune newspaper, and that it really sounds great. He was very impressed with your testimony and said he could relate to your background of being in the promotional field because he has a similar profession. He said he has listened to your radio program a few times, and he's going to make a habit of listening to it regularly when he's not working. He said the radio program and your literature are very inspirational. Keep up the good work. He requested a copy of the Messiah book, and was very interested in receiving the other information and literature that you have written.
Right, the only way that people can be know that the things that I write are of the Holy Spirit is the Word of God states that we must be led by the Holy Spirit, because we're of no value to God if we're not being led by the Holy Spirit. And we must walk by the Holy Spirit. We must have a spiritual prayer life and also a spiritual life outside of the holy place where we pray. My perfect relationship to the Holy Spirit is that I allow myself to be guided, directed, led, and ruled by Him. We must be ruled by the Lord. Obedience is the great factor in our entire relationship with God. Quote, he states, "Obey my voice and I will be your God." That's Jeremiah 7:23. So remember how that the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Creator, our Creator and Savior, on the last night, when going and to this place where he had to go, where he's led, when giving his great promise about the Holy Spirit, lays much emphasis on this one point, quote, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." That's John 14, chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. But obedience was and still is the most essential thing. As a preparation for receiving the Holy Spirit. That's he says, you know, if you keep his commandments, that he'll give you the Holy Spirit. It's the preparation for receiving or the reception of the Holy Spirit. And this thought, this commandment is often repeated by the Lord. Quote, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." No other. If you don't keep the commandments of the Lord, you don't love him. According to him, and he's God and he's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
And so you have to keep his commandments or you're a witch. Disobedience to his commandments is witchcraft. "And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." I'll show myself to him, unquote. That's verse 21. So it's the same thing in verse 23. Quote, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Unquote. Quote again, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall walk in my spirit and you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." That's John 15:7. And then again, quote, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." I hear these preachers say, that's unquote. That's verse 10. I hear preachers saying, God just loves you. He's just saying to all the sinners out there, he loved you so much that he died for you. He kept all the commandments and died for you, shed his blood for you, and then resurrected out of hell and the grave, and then ascended up into the kingdom of heaven. But he also says, ye are my friends if, you know how, if is a little word, just two letters. If you do whatsoever, that's only if you do whatsoever I command you. Obey those that have the rule over you. Is that a commandment?
Amen.
Unquote. That's verse 14. Are there any words that could plainly or impressively declare that the whole life following the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, depends on obedience? Question mark. Okay, where's the next letter from?
From Palm Springs, California. This just came in today. Judy with Judith Nutritions called the witnessing line today saying that she saw in the newspaper an advertisement for Tony Alamo on the radio, and she was glad to see you doing what you do best, preaching the gospel. She said she would like to talk to you. She said the people have come to interview her and have tried to get her to say negative things about you.
Yeah, these are people that the Vatican always sends in. Our clothing, the clothing that I used to design, was in over 10,000 stores. And what they did is send a bunch of Vatican goons, and they were FBI people and people that were with the BATF and other satanic organizations. They sent them around to all the stores saying I was running a slave labor camp. What it was, actually, it started out to be an arts and craft class that everybody liked. Whoever wanted to do it could. There was no slave labor to it whatsoever. They went to all the stores, 10,000 stores, mind you, and told everybody that I was running a slave labor camp and that I was forcing little children to do the check, because little children could never have done anything that beautiful. There's just a few people that wanted to do it. They could do it, and I let them do it because I hate hog farms and stuff like that, but some of our people wanted a hog farm. And N.D. Edwards from Van Buren, Arkansas, he was a judge, and he also was the person that is the escrow company, and he had the N.D. Edwards escrow, or what do they call it out here? I forget. Well, similar to escrow. And he called me up one morning and told me, Tony. I said, what? I was about 5 o'clock, 6 in the morning. And I was up praying. And he said, somebody stole my pigs. And I said, what do you mean, your pigs? You got pigs, Andy? And he said, yes. And I says, well, how many did they steal? He said, about 1,000. And Tony, I don't have anybody out there to watch those pigs. And, you've got a lot of boys over there, and maybe some of them would like to be interested in that. If they are, I'll just let you take over the payments on that farm. He said, I can't watch it. He said, I just put over $250,000 worth of new equipment in there, two brand new big barns that hold 1,000 hogs, those 50-pound feeder hogs. And big silos and a big old barn out there. And I says, well, how much are the payments? And he told me, and I forget what it was. This is years ago. And I don't like hogs. I don't like the smell of them. And I'm Jewish, and I won't even play football because them footballs are made out of pig skin. I guess, like if they threw the football at me, I just would let it fall on the ground. But at any rate, Andy told me, I won't wish that on anybody. I'll ask them and see if they want to do it. And if they will, I'll let them do it. Okay? And so a bunch of them from especially New York City and some other places back east, Delaware and all that, oh, yeah, we want that hog farm. And I said, I don't like it, but I'll get it for you. And now don't expect me to go up there and help you. I don't want to be around pigs. And so I got the farm for him, but that doesn't mean I like it. There's a lot of things that I did that the people wanted. They wanted health foods and all that sort of thing, but they wanted to make jackets. And I farmed a lot of that out to different commercial people that make jackets. And then I had rhinestone designs that I sent over to other people. Many of them worked in different houses. They do that in Mexico. A lot of there'll be like people that do real good leather work, but it's like a housewife that she's staying home during the day and she wants to make some extra money to help her husband and help the kids in the house. And so I'd farm some of the leather jackets that we did out to them. We didn't know how to do leather. I wasn't running any slave labor camp. I was paying people big money. And all the people that worked in the rhinestone room and in the packing room, they all got houses built for them. Beautiful houses and beautiful furniture. Susie was really good interior decorator. She went out and got the best kind of furniture for them at the best deals. They can go out there on Highway 71 in Elma, Arkansas, and ask the man that runs the furniture store out there, J.D. Dean, I believe it was, Dean's furniture store out there, and he'll tell you that she went in there and bought some of the best furniture in the world for the people at the church. And people wanted to move in, but if they didn't want to serve the Lord, well, we wouldn't let them move in. So there was no slave labor. They ate the best food. We had the best restaurant in the whole state of Arkansas, probably in the whole South. And we had Dolly Parton and Marty Robbins come and sing gospel songs and some of their hits over at the banquet room, and everybody had a lot of fun. When they threw me in jail on false charges and then to prison, a lot of the sheriffs came out to see me in my jail cell, and they said, "This is the most rotten thing we've ever seen. This is a federal government doing this to you, Tony. Sure, we know better than that." You know, everybody came to that restaurant, even Bill Clinton. We had pie in there because he wanted me to introduce him to Dolly Parton. I didn't know that he was the kind of guy that he is, or I never would have introduced him to her. But anyway, they went to the 10,000 stores and stated that I was running a slave labor camp, when this is actually the Rolls-Royce ministry of all ministries on the face of this earth. And and then people said that I was feeding them pig food and stuff. And here's Judith Nutrition right here, where all the movie stars go to shop in Palm Springs. Sonny Bono was the mayor at the time, and so he and I were in business together, and we were really good friends. And she's telling you all these things about that I took better care of the people in the church, and many of the people at her store that comes in there take care of their own children. So, you know, of course, Satan has to tell, persecute those that walk in the Spirit. You know, don't believe the media or anybody, just anybody. If you want to know about me, come and ask. Come to our services. Eat a meal over at our place and see if it isn't the best food you ever ate in your life. Okay? And the clothing that we wear, it's the best. Donald Trump and Ivana Trump ordered from me. The Sultan of Brunei, I dressed him up. King Alfred Bongo of Gabon, Africa, I dressed his son up. The princes, all the princes, and you know, the king of Saudi Arabia, and the queen, and all of his princesses, I dressed them all up, and the princes also. And so we have the best of everything over here. And you know, it's the Vatican, all this stuff is coming from them, and so they even go to where I'm buying health foods. And to see if, you know, I'm on the up and up. Well, here's Judith Nutrition telling you. Go ahead, read the rest of it.
Judy said she absolutely will not say any negative thing against Tony. He has done nothing but good for people. She said they keep hounding her to come against him, and she told them, "I don't care how many times you ask me or how many ways you ask me, I will never say anything negative about Tony Alamo, because I've only ever seen good from him."
Right now, she also did another letter, and we put it in one of our books, how that I treat people in our church better than most mothers and dads. Not all of them, but most of they couldn't treat them any better. You know why? Because I believe that whatsoever I do unto people, it's the same as if I were doing it for the Lord, because that's what he's going to say to us in the last days. He's going to tell us, you know, inasmuch as you fed me, clothed me, inasmuch as you gave me to drink, inasmuch as you did all these things unto this person, you also did it unto me. And inasmuch as you didn't do it for these people, you didn't do it unto me, and so therefore depart into outer darkness. Go into the lake of fire, because you're worse than a dog. You know, when people, you feed them, clothe them, and house them, and then they leave the church and start talking about you, they're worse than a dog, because you know a dog will not bite the hand that feeds it. Will it?
No.
I've had some pit bulls in my life. One especially when I was a kid. And that dog, one time I was teasing it by, you know, playing with his ears and stuff over in Helena, Montana. No, this was in Lewistown, Montana. And he grabbed my arm very gently. And he just looked at me and said, "No, I don't like that." And I said, "Okay, Taurus," that was his name, Tarzan, I called him. "I won't ever do that again, because I know he could have snapped my wrist just like a chicken bone." Okay, well, so anyway, that's just one of the hundreds of thousands of testimonials that we have on that particular subject. But these guys went around to 10,000 stores and said, "If you don't stop buying his clothes, we're going to close you down, because you're wicked. You're buying clothes from a slave labor camp person." So the Spirit of Christ, he lived not to do his own will, but the will of the Father, and he cannot, with his Spirit, make an abiding home in the heart of a person who does not surrender himself totally to a life of obedience to him. But it is so sorrowful, it's so terrible, how few there are in this world who are truly committed or concerned about keeping God's commandments. And they show it by their disobedience. That's how they do that. Are we to disbelieve that Christ really asks for and expects this from us because of his undertaking to make it possible for us to be righteous, to be in him, to make it into the kingdom of heaven with him and his Father? They're all three one, of course. How much is it manifest in prayer? It's manifested that there's no way that you can possibly keep God's commandments unless you pray earnestly. And those of you that really don't know how to pray, I would pray, "Holy, holy, holy, God Almighty." I would just keep saying that. "Oh, holy, 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 God Almighty, to you, Almighty God." And just do that until you can feel his presence. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord's Prayer, the Lord teaches people how to pray. And that's a nice prayer, the best. But it all involves praise to the Lord. And you can start out like that because he inhabits the praises of his saints. So you say, "I praise you, Father. I praise you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, Father God. I praise you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, what is it that you would like me to pray? You would like me to pray, Lord. How would you like to pray?" how much is it manifested when you start praying as to what the Lord wants you to pray, or how he wants you to walk in the Spirit, or what to do in the depths of your soul life, that we really endeavor to be well-pleasing to the Lord in all things. See, you're not going to want to be well-pleasing to the Lord unless you're living next to, right next to him in his throne. We say much too much, much too little, much too much in regard to our disobedience to the Lord. Quote, I will be sorry for my sin, unquote. But is obedience really possible? Some people ask. They've asked it in the past, and they ask it today, and they'll ask it in the future. They say, it is not. It is, certain for the man who believes that Christ Jesus is his sanctification and relies on him, just as it is possible for a man to see that Christ can at once forgive his former sins. It is also possible to have faith that in Christ, if you're in the Lord, that it's your promise of power to accomplish all that he desires in you, that the Almighty God desires from his child. Just as though faith, and through faith, we found the fullness of forgiveness. So there's the law of the Spirit of life. Some people say that the law is over with, but Jesus didn't say that. He said he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. So how could he fulfill it unless he was full of the Lord, his Father, from heaven? It had to, because he was a human, and he had to contact the Lord God, his Father, all the time. And through faith, we find the fullness of forgiveness for our former sins. It is through a new act of faith that we obtain real deliverance from the dominion of the sin which has so easily beset us. Then there's the abiding blessing of the keeping power of Christ becomes ours. Because if we walk in this world like him, close to the Lord, sitting with him in heavenly places, this faith obtains a new insight into the different promises that the Lord makes, the meaning of which was not previously understood. Quote, the God of peace, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, unquote. You can read that in Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21, verses 20 and 21. Quote, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. How could you fall when you're right is sitting in the throne with the Lord? It's impossible. And so when people say they're wavering, the devil's really leaning on them, it's because you're not there at the throne. Unto him that is able, he's very able to keep you from falling. Be glory and mercy, unquote. Jude. The book of Jude 24, and verses 24 and 25. Quote, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. 2 Peter 1:10, quote, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. How can you be holy unless you're next to the Lord, who is only able to give you holiness, the Holy Spirit? At the beginning of this message, it states that he gives the Holy Spirit to those that keep his commandments. When I was a baby Christian, I thought, well, how can you keep his commandments if you don't have the Holy Spirit? Well, the Lord says, you remember when you were young that there was many temptations that came your way? You weren't even saved, and you turned away from them. Don't you remember that? And I said, yes. He says, well, now that you're saved, can't you turn away from temptation? Can't you keep the command? I said, yes, Lord. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. We could actually go there later on, 1 Thessalonians chapter, start out with verse 1 and see what that leads us to. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. The soul must understand that the fulfillment of these and other promises is secured for us in Christ, and that as certainly as the forgiveness of sin is assured to us only in him, so also is the power against new or fresh attacks of sin be assured to us that we would overcome. So for the first time, the lesson learned accurately that faith can confidently rely upon a full Christ, a fullness in Christ, and his abiding protection. This sort of faith sheds a totally whole, and an entirely new light on the life of obedience. The Lord Jesus Christ holds himself responsible to work this out in me every moment of the day, if I only trusted him for it. Then I would begin to understand the importance of the phrase with which Paul begins and closes his epistle to the Romans, quote, the obedience of faith, unquote, Romans 1:5, and at the end, 16:26. Faith brings me to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only to obtain the forgiveness of sin, that is my former sins and sins of ignorance, but also that I may enjoy the power that will make it possible for me as a child of God to abide in him and to be numbered among his obedient children. As his obedient children, it is written that as he who has called them is holy, so they also may be holy in all manner of conversation. 1 Peter 1:15. Everything depends on whether or not I believe on the whole Christ, which means the entire Word of God, because Christ is the Word, the whole Word of God, that with the fullness of his power he will not now and then do for me. He's not going to now and then do stuff for me if I keep his commandments, will he?
No.
Not just now and then. But every moment of the day he will be the strength of my life. Such faith will lead to an obedience which enables me and you also, if you are obedient, to walk, quote, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing of him, being fruitful in every good work, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. unquote. Colossians 1:10-11. The soul that feeds on such promises will experience, instead of the disobedience of self-effort, what the obedience of faith means. All such promises have their measure, their certainty, and their strength in the living Christ, that we might have the victorious life in Him. Okay, Sharon, now what do you have there?
1 Thessalonians 3.
Okay.
Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know.
See, we have to, the people that are of the world, they follow the Antichrist in blind obedience. They are the followers of Rome, who is the head of all today's problems. Every conflict and all the violence today. To resist the power of the cults is to obey the Lord. All those that love God hate evil. Amen?
Amen.
We have to reform ourselves. We have to read the Word to find out what it is that the Lord, how close He wants us to live to Him so that He can impart His holiness unto us. We have to be re-educated, and only through the Word are we able to do that. There's too much drug use and sex in this world, illicit sex, that is. And the biggest cover-up in human history is what they are doing in the world today. The whole Antichrist is the most despicable bunch of satanic people that ever lived. God was so angry at them in the days of Noah that He drowned them all. And He's going to burn all the disobedient in fire. Disobedient Christians that call themselves Christians, and disobedient sinners. All of them are sinners, and all of them are disobedient. Then what?
Verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you.
Right, you love the brothers that much, you brothers and you sisters, you love the sisters that much, to want to be imparting spiritual things unto them instead of just idle gossip or just foolishness, then what?
Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord.
Yeah, stand fast, that means you're living at the throne. You're living in the glorious prayer room, your prayer closet. It's a glorious thing to communicate with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your faith.
See, day by day, praying exceedingly. And some people don't even offer a one-minute prayer a day to the Lord, especially not an exceeding prayer. If they did, God would start revealing things unto them that they had no idea existed, and they would be enjoying a life of wonder. They would realize it'd be a whole entirely different life for them, because they would be experiencing the same power that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself had. The Lord wants to impart that unto us while we're still here. if you're not interested in being with the Lord here on this earth, then it's unlikely that you'd want to be near him in heaven, and so you won't be there. Okay, then what?
Verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith.
See, this is perfecting your faith, to hear messages. Amen?
Amen.
I love to hear messages Amen. From people Amen. That have gotten something from the Lord, don't you?
Amen.
Right, then what?
Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men.
Okay, love means the keeping of God's commandments. That's what love is. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen?
Amen.
And again, love is the keeping of God's commandments. Then what?
Abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
Holy, holy, holy God Almighty. That's just perfect. My time is up right now. And therefore, I would beseech you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive him as your personal Savior. And his promises are true. His word is true, and all the promises in his word are true. He said, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So call upon, I would beseech you to call upon him now, for your own sake, for your own good. You can have the Lord, his Father, and the Holy Spirit enter you all at once. If you just say this prayer sincerely to him, say to him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood to take away all my filthy sins, to cleanse me of them. I open up the door of my heart, and I believe that the Lord raised him from the dead, and that's how he's able, as a live Savior, to enter my heart now and give me his life into my temporal life, his immortal, eternal life into my mortal life. It's the only way I can live forever in heaven. That's what the Bible says, the words. So, say to the Lord, I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Then just keep praying and praising the Lord and thanking him for the rest of your life. And read the King James Version of the Bible. And get into that prayer closet, and you'll find that the Lord will lead, guide, and direct you all the days of your life. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways on how to receive a copy of this program, number 290.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. Well, we must continue on running the race, the great race. Until tomorrow, I'm going to sing Run On for you with J.D. Summit and the Stamps. And until tomorrow, for the next powerful message from God, here we are to sing Run On.
Don't go to money, gonna cut 'em down. Won't stop, go to money, let me tell you. the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on my bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. My God spoke, and he spoke so sweet. I thought I heard the shuffle of the angels' feet. Put one hand upon my head. Great God Almighty, let me tell you what he said. Go tell that lonesome liar. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell the gambler, the rambler, the backbiter. Hide your hand, plumb in the dark against your fellow man. As sure as God made the day and the night, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You may run and hide, slip and slide, talk about the mold in your brother's eye. As sure as God made the rich and the poor, you're gonna reap just what you sow. You may run on for a long time. Nobody's gonna cut you down. Go tell that lonesome liar. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell the gambler, the rambler, the backbiter. Tell him God Almighty's gonna cut them down. Some people go to church just to signify, trying to make a date with the neighbor's wife. But brother, let me tell you, just as sure as you're born, you better leave that woman alone. Because one of these days, you mark my word, you'll think that brother has gone to work. You'll sneak up and knock on the door. Oh, brother, you'll knock no more. You may run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time. Let me tell you, God Almighty's gonna cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go tell that midnight rider.